John.
I'm John.
I'm Mike.
And I forgot how to turn the microphone back on.
And I'm confused at the moment because Matt seemed to have electrocuted himself. You right, Matt?
It was just static.
Your two thumbs okay?
Yeah, it was static. It just took me by surprise more than anything.
Excellent. In that case, we're still at all yesterday's party.
Hey! We're still at King Street Studios.
Been here for 3 weeks now.
And we're still talking about Safe as Milk.
Yes, and we're still with Gordon.
Hello.
As you get closer, you get louder. You can do one or the other, mate.
Okay.
I'll stop auto-tuning him now.
Right, so, yeah. John, you're on the same beer as...
I'm on the same beer. I've taken... It's a bigger bottle than the ones I've been drinking for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Mm. So I've taken my time with this one. I'm still halfway through the Brass Castle Hazelnut Mild.
Yeah, it does sound nice.
Yeah.
Which I have. I'm on Gessler Brewery.
Oh, give me a minute.
Magic Rock!
Oh, so it is!
Thanks, UK Mail.
Yeah, for not delivering it! So I had to get it from somewhere else. This is Dark Arts. They're described as a surreal stout.
Is it?
It's not surreal.
Is it not?
It's real.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a very, very, very good stout.
What's supposed to be surreal about it?
I don't know, Matt.
What would make a stout surreal?
If it wasn't stout?
What?
Lobster?
No, that would be better in a pale ale.
Lobster?
Just because I bought a lobster beer, it's also got seaweed and cockles in it, so...
I've just noticed something. That can is 330 millilitres.
Yes.
Yes.
So is a can of Coke.
Yes.
Are they both owned by Coke?
No.
Well, now we've got that out of the way. Okay then, so first act of the day...
Yes.
...is going to be Karen Guire.
Karen Guire.
Would you like to hear something about Karen Guire?
I would like to hear something about Karen
Guire. Can you do it less like this?
Karen Guire.
Oh, God.
Are you familiar?
That's more like that.
Karen Guire.
That's your silly Nelly voice.
Oh, Karen Guire.
No, Karen Guire, right, okay, hails from that Michigan. Originally, okay... And kind of fell into music making for audiences accidentally after her bedroom hobby just got a bit out of hand, lols.
That's disgusting.
Isn't it? Oh, always keep your bedroom hobby in your
hands. Don't let anyone else see it.
Oh, God. I'll get all sticky. All that psychedelic gunk.
I saw a headline today, incidentally. A man in Japan died after his 6-ton collection of porn magazines fell on him.
I read that one. 6 tons of porn.
But hang on, they've only got small houses in Japan.
Well, that's why it was only 6 tons.
This one was actually built out of porn.
This is the house that porn built.
Oh, God, I've expanded me.
I said pinch shrink it.
5 years later, and the velvety liquid dance music she sculpts is developing quite a fat little discography. You're having troubles with that, aren't you?
Velvety liquid? Are we adding that to the psychedelic gunge that's already outside the chalet?
I'm assuming
this is going to be... At least it'll sort of flow over the top of the gunge.
Yeah, you could swim in it. The wonderful Kiki the Wormhole, brackets, opal tapes, close brackets, was the first record of Karen's to grab us by the ears. There's something very motoric and insistent about that whole album, and yet, it's like you're lifted up. Oh. It's maybe the same thing, perhaps.
The story is in the soil.
Yes, and you beat your ears to the ground. Mm. And carry away... Oh, Jesus, that sentence is written incredibly badly. Let's stop there. Now, I listened...
It's not so easy, is it?
No.
It's not easy writing things that that make sense, it seems. And yes. Then they're making someone read them. Now, I listened to the aforementioned Kiki the Wormhole.
Mm.
Yeah. And I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it very much. It's got like kind of a retro electronic vibe to it. It's a bit squelchy. I like that squelchy sound. It's all that velvety liquid.
All the stuff. all the psychedelic gum just sinks to the bottom.
Yeah. Actually, I found it very appealing.
It's going to be like a lava lamp.
Yeah.
Psychedelic gums just in bubbles going up in the velvety liquid.
Mm. I watch it.
Yeah.
On the third stage.
For hours. Until it got cancelled.
Yes. But it was a soothing album. It's simultaneously quite insistent. So it wasn't just kind of background music.
Yeah.
I was gripped by it. Not the favourite thing I've got to listen to throughout all of these listening sessions, but I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it well enough. And that's all I have to say on the matter.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that Kiki is a slang amongst drag queens for gossip.
It is.
Not to be confused with Kai Kai, which is slang among drag queens for drag queens having sex together.
What about Kiki's delivery service?
That's something very different.
That's a Studio Ghibli film made by Hayao Miyazaki.
Mm. Six times. Along a small girl on a broomstick with a sarcastic black cat.
Mm. I empathise with that cat.
Yeah, Gigi. Just brilliant.
I just like being sarcastic.
Gigi.
Is that the name of the cat?
That's the name of the cat.
Yeah. It's also the name of a film starring that woman who's the daughter of that woman who was on...
We're all daughters of women.
No, what's her name? She was in Wizard of Oz.
Judy Garland?
Yes, but the daughter.
Liza Minnelli.
Different spelling of Gigi. Because that was G.I.G.I. The one in Gigi Delivery Service is J.I.G.I.
So less like Channing Tatum.
Yes.
I hope you're keeping up with this at home.
Well, no, yeah. G.I. Joe, isn't it?
Gordon, what did you think of Karen Boyer?
Analogue.
John, what did you think of
Karen Boyer? Digital.
It was alright. I'd completely forgotten what I'd listened to. So
you forgot to listen to her at all, didn't you?
No, I did. I did recall something from that Kiki, or whatever that name
is. Kiki the Wormhole.
And it was alright. And I just had a quick look at the Boiler session that she did, where she's got a Roland JP9000, which is always a good way to go up in my estimation. Although she was pretty much just holding down one note, which is another way to then go down a little bit in my estimation. But nonetheless, it was good. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't wow amazing. But if I happen to be walking past and it's on, I'll check it out. And I might enjoy it.
Cool. John?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. What I've written down here, some tracks could also be used on the Portal 1 soundtrack. There were some tracks that just had elements of some of the really great atmospheric music as you were going through the test chambers in the original Portal.
It's got a similar kind of slightly sparkly retro vibe.
Yeah. Some tracks actually had an interesting feel to them that I talked a few weeks ago about Punch Drunk.
Yes.
And some tracks felt like they could have been used in some of the rooms as you went around the building for The Drowned Man. They didn't grab my attention so much. They were good pieces of music. The stuff that I've talked about in the last few weeks that I've slated for not grabbing my attention. This didn't do it in an offensive way. I think it's the best way to do it. The stuff that I've slated previously just wasn't... The quality wasn't there, and I just didn't... flat out didn't enjoy it, whereas I enjoyed this, but it's not something I would have gone out of my way to listen to. It's something that you would have on in the background while you were either playing a computer game or something. Like that, so
indulging your bedroom hobby.
Indulging my bedroom hobby.
Don't let it get out of hand.
In privately, out of hand, literally. Lol.
Balls. Matt.
I listened to Prophase, Metaphase, Anaphase, Telophase because the title grabbed me.
It is a great title.
And it refers to the stages of cell division. Hmm. Mitosis. Which is why there's another track at the end of that EP called Meiosis Gametes, which is haploid rather than diploid cell division. But leaving that aside, I really enjoyed it. I've listened to that a couple of times because actually my one criticism would be John's last point, which is that actually it can fade into the background quite easily. And that happened both times that I listened to that whole EP. So if you asked me to tell you any additional details other than, yeah, I quite like that.
Yeah.
I think I would struggle to do so.
Yeah.
I didn't really notice it moving from prophase through anaphase and metaphase, but I could tell when it got to telophase. I'm not sure. To be honest with you, I'm not really sure. What I should do, tell you what would be ideal, is watching a video of Cell Division whilst listening to that.
Maybe we should do that, Matt.
I'm not going to do
that. Cell Division take?
It depends on the cell.
One that lasts about 45 to 50 minutes?
Well, that's longer than the track.
Oh.
Yeah.
How long in dog years?
Not very heckin' long.
Oh, heckin' language. Shall we move on to the next one, John?
Yeah. So we're on Craig Leon and Martin Rev.
Yes, indeed. Back to the Save This Milk website for a little bit of knowledge. These two names will leap out at all lovers of the band Suicide immediately. Sadly, Alan Vega had passed away last year, but we're delighted to see Martin Rev clearly still in rude health and as dynamic musically as he... what the fuck are you doing, John?
I'm getting rid of a beer stain.
Oh, right. It's like you're just kind of teasing the table's nipples or something. It's a slightly peculiar...
That too.
Okay.
Yeah, rein it in.
You seem to like it.
Mm. It's got a bit wet.
Keep it in your bedroom. And as dynamic musically as ever he was. At Safe as Milk, he's joined by Craig Leon, the producer of the first Suicide album, and records by many others that may grace your collection, including Blondie, The Ramones, The Bangles, Jeffrey Lee Pierce, and The Fall. Leon has also produced his own string of sublime electronic albums, his great Nomos album, reissued by Superior Viaduct, and bringing him a whole new audience of younger electronic... Superior Viaduct. That is literally what it says here. Superior. The words Superior and Viaduct. It's capitalised to indicate...
Better Bridge.
Name. Yeah.
That's at least alliterative. Fuck's sake.
You can't blame Safer's Milk for the fact that...
I'm not blaming Safer's Milk. I'm blaming the label for being excessively pretentious in their naming.
Validated Viaduct.
Validated Viaduct, yes, I like that. Suitable. That's alliterative.
Victorious Viaduct, maybe.
Vile Viaduct.
Oh, I like that.
Vile Duct.
Vile Duct, oh.
I have one of those. It's where all of the things I say come from.
Anyway, that whole thing went off the rails very shortly. So, Matt, what listening have you done for this one? And what did you think on it?
So, I listened to quite a bit of Martin Rev because I was enjoying... the variety that go with his album. So I listened to See Me Riding, I listened to Martin Rev, I listened to Stigmata, and I listened to another one as well, I think Strange World or My Strange World.
It's just Strange World.
Strange World. And they were all very different. I listened to what I could find of Craig Leon, which was some of his early synth work, I think, which had been re-released, and then a lot of his sort of more modern classical type stuff. And what... I did also listen to Suicide's first album. The thing that worries... I've got kind of 2 points on this. One of which is a big worry, and one of which is a really excessive level of enthusiasm. My worry is that I enjoyed everything I listened to by them as individuals, but I didn't particularly care for the first Suicide album. So there's that. The thing which makes me really hopeful and enthusiastic is that both of their most recent outputs seem to have been modern classical, combined with the synthesizer stuff. And if they did something like that, I would be so into that, because there's not a lot of that. In fact, I don't think there's any modern classical or anything, really, with, you know, acoustic instruments. Much across the lineup. So consequently, if they did something like that, I will be so excited, and I will be there for that. I will probably be there for that regardless, because I enjoyed Martin Rev very much.
Cool.
I enjoyed the bubblegum excesses of See Me Riding, and I enjoyed the no wave of his first album, and the monolithic terrifyingness of Stigmata.
Excellent. John?
I'm almost apologetic at this point because I didn't enjoy Martin Rev.
Wrong.
I thought Craig Leon's music was interesting. Like you say, the modern classical stuff was pretty good. What I felt when I listened to Martin Rev, I felt like I was listening to somebody sing one song over the slightly mistimed music of something else.
Did you listen to See Me Riding?
I can't remember.
Mm-hmm. Were you hating?
I was a little bit.
You see what I did there?
Yeah, I'm trying not to reward that kind of behaviour.
Like, what I listened to of Martin Rev sounded a bit more haphazard than the focused nature of what Craig Leon was producing. And I don't know, it just... I didn't like his voice, and...
I didn't like his voice. I didn't like his dog.
This is something that's been coming up again and again. If you don't like somebody's voice, and there is a singer, it's very difficult to...
Yeah,
and like the rest of the work.
And so it felt like I was listening to a few clumsy, haphazard demos. That's how it felt from my point of view.
Such scowling there.
So, I mean, who knows what you get when you put the two of those people together?
Suicide.
Couldn't.
That's and one other guy.
I couldn't predict.
Too soon.
Is it?
I don't know.
I can't predict what you would get with a fusion of the two artists because they just felt so disparate.
Probably a lawsuit of some kind.
They felt.
Don't go about fusing people.
They felt really disparate, and where I appreciated one half more than the other, couldn't hazard a guess as to what the end product would say.
It's difficult, particularly being as this is their first outing as a duo. Yeah.
It's almost impossible for us to really know what they're going to sound like.
There's nothing other than by kind of guessing from their recent solo output, which is why I'm keeping my fingers crossed for modern classical.
Yeah.
So good.
I listened to Craig Leon and the Numus album, and I very much enjoyed it. Martin Rev, I'm struggling to recall what he sounded like.
Awesome.
Excellent. Well,
in that case.
That's 50% of the opinions you've heard on him so far.
But from what I've heard of Craig Leon and what I sort of remember from Martin Rev, and particularly that early 80s electronica type sound, I assume will be more evolved. But again, I'm actually quite curious going in, not really knowing what to expect. So one that I'm happy to check out, one that I wasn't really aware of who either of them were before the Safest Milk lineup. So I'm happy to just go with limited knowledge, understanding and awareness and see what happens.
I have all of those. I'm the best at limited knowledge, understanding and awareness.
That's how I describe you to people that have never met you.
Thanks.
Now, I just listened to the first Suicide album. Firstly, because it seemed like the most efficient thing to do.
Mm.
And secondly, because I have history with that album.
Yeah.
Because when I was at university, a mate of mine was doing some reviewing for the student newspaper.
Yeah.
And it was at the time that Suicide by Suicide was re-released. And so we both sat down to listen to it, and the eventual review was two words long. Unmitigated bollocks. Since listening to it, I've now downgraded it to just bollocks. No, that's a lie.
Downgraded it to unmitigated.
Listening to it now, as someone who's listened to a lot more of that kind of thing, I can hear the influence of that album through an awful lot of the stuff that I listen to, and I enjoy that a lot more.
Yeah.
It's got like really lo-fi staccato sound, and it's got like kind of claustrophobic feel. And yeah, I like the vocals, Matt. So chin.
Well, that's not Martin Rev's vocal, is it?
But the overall feel is, you know, given that the last time those two, Craig Leon and Martin Rev worked together, the overall feel was something that I was into.
The thing that makes me optimistic is I preferred Martin Rev's vocal to... I keep forgetting his name because it's
Vegan.
Not one of the three that's in the... Two that's in the...
Three that's
artist.
In
the... Shush.
Two that's in the three.
I think Martin Rev's vocal worked for me better than the vocal that was on the first Suicide album, which is why I think I've enjoyed Martin Rev's solo stuff. I really enjoyed it.
I'm going to need to listen to some of his actual stuff. I didn't actually pay that much attention to who the vocalist was in Suicide. So I'm going to have to obviously listen to
Picked it up because in his bio on Spotify it described him as the instrumentalist from Suicide. So I've leapt to an assumption without, you know, doing...
Well, Matt, I enjoyed the staccato rhythms and the kind of slightly claustrophobic sound of the Suicide album, which would be a bit more relevant to... So obviously Craig Lee and Martin Rev were responsible for the sound of that album. And the album sounds great. And not as bollocks as I initially thought. But yeah, I'll be interested to see what they do. But obviously, because no one could possibly know what they're going to do, we can all make educated guesses, but we can't know for certain.
We can have hopes and
dreams.
Or
they'll be shattered. Yeah.
I think it's
going to be worthwhile checking it out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Except.
I accidentally put you off there, sorry.
You did it accidentally.
Yeah.
So, moving on, we've got Jeff Mills and Tony Allen.
Yes, we have. Another double header. So, on the Safest Milk site, it says, what can you say about a pairing of such legends? What can you say?
We can say quite a lot, probably.
Yeah, everyone can.
Paddy, if necessary.
Jeff Mills, the inventor of the Detroit techno sound, founder of the Underground Resistance, pretty much a peerless originator in the evolution of warehouse music of the past 30-plus years, and Tony Allen, fellow Cooties drummer in Africa, 70, for over a decade, and even now in his 70s, it's revered.
What's happening to you?
No idea.
Turning into Doctor Strangelove.
They're just certain words. It's sounding a bit weird. But yeah, bringing these two Goliaths together is like some kind of fantasy festival fixture, and it's hard to imagine a pairing of two more influential musicians. Mills evolved from DJ to revered producer and live performer with a major influence on development in electronic music over three decades. Allen merged Nigerian highlife, American jazz and funk, and the traditional Nigerian percussion to create a sound that drove Africa 70 into the stratosphere. There we go. I think there's a lot been said there. What I dubbed it is there's a little video on the Safest Milk page, the New Morning live show in Paris.
Right.
I listened to that, and yes. Yes, please.
Is that the pairing of the two of them?
Yes. Two of them with, and there's another guy is kind of collaborating, but it's the two of them definitely work together in the live. And yeah, I'll have some of that. It's got a nice groove to it, old school electronics, and then some wonderful drum work. Mm. I mean, it is excellent. You can see why the two of them are revered for what they do, because they're obviously very bloody good at it.
Yeah.
And the way they work together is great. It always, when I was listening to it, it always felt like it was on the cusp of becoming danceable.
Yeah.
But never quite took you all the way.
Yeah.
You know, it was teasing you all along that it was going to really bust out into an amazing groove that you wouldn't be able to resist dancing to.
Yeah.
So it kept you on the edge. Loved it. Yeah. And I can't see how it'd be anything other than captivating in a live environment. So, great big fat thumb. Gordon.
Right up.
Yeah, right up it. Right up, Gordon. Gordon.
You're adorable.
Be yes.
I am a fan of Jeff Mills. I was...
It's like he's putting out cards that have got words on them.
I was first introduced to him in the late 90s by a CD, a physical CD. of the his set at the Liquid Room in Tokyo, Japan.
As opposed to Tokyo...
It's full of psychedelic gunk.
There's actually a Tokyo elsewhere.
Is there?
Where's elsewhere?
Somewhere else. Parts unknown. it's
Tokyo parts unknown. Sounds like a comic.
And he's got an amazing spectrum of work throughout all types of techno, and I really like his style. I've seen him play live with his MPC, and I love the way he chops and changes everything, and he can get through an amazing library of records in a very short space of time.
Yeah.
Now, playing live with a drummer... Now, I've seen various DJ sets and live electronic performances that have incorporated various types of drummers over the years, but I don't think any of them will compare to these guys and the levels that they're at, so I'm very excited to see how this works. I don't expect it to be a full-on techno... you know, balls to the floor, is that a term?
The balls are normally to the wall, Gordon.
Unless you sit down rather abruptly.
If you just walk in across the floor and you just slip on a discarded cup.
Like walking along behind someone that's like treading on their balls. That's them blue in.
Well done. I don't think it will be
like
that.
Just give me hate, quite enjoy it.
I think, as Mike said, it will be on the correct side of polite, but not too polite. Certainly not the upper crust of society. But certainly
not in prestatin.
No.
And I think it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
John.
I listened. The first thing I listened to was Jeff Mills. There's an album called Blue Potential, which is a live album, and he's got a full orchestra, which the orchestra will start, and then
they'll finish. And the stuff in the middle.
but then
a sandwich of orchestra.
Yeah. Well, kind of like the more electronic stuff will come in part way through. And it works really interestingly in a live setting. It actually put me in mind of Mr. Scruff.
All right.
Which was...
like a bit of Mr. Scruff.
Yeah, yeah. So that was really good.
Where are fish?
fish.
That's pigs.
And
I should find it with the pigs and the pigs. Don't embarrass yourself.
And then I listened to some Tony Allen, and it was a completely different style. It was funkier. There was some really really good bass guitar, and like you said, the drums are really strong. But the songs were really melodic, and the lyrics were nicely evocative. There's some really good imagery in there, and the idea of combining those two things really appeals to me. I'll be interested. I nearly said that same thing I've said every fucking week, but I want to see what that sounds like when you fuse the two
I'll
together.
Stop using people.
Jeff Mills' style combined with Tony Allen's songwriting, I think, will be a really good combo.
Cool. Tyra.
I listened to The Blue Potential, which was probably the same orchestral live album, because it's also the first one that comes up on Spotify, so oh, what a giveaway that was. And I listened to Film of Life by Tony Allen, which I'm going to guess is probably the one that you also listened to because it's the first album that comes up on Spotify.
Quite like that.
Was there a Damon Albarn track?
Mm.
Yeah. Ugh, right.
I'm just going to stop for a moment and say I really dislike Damon Albarn.
I don't need
to say anything further.
I haven't got any strong opinions about him, but I do like his vocal. He's got a really nice, rich vocal.
He produced Sabaly quite well on the Amadou and Mariam album.
He did a monkey play.
So,
as in Journey to the West.
Yes. Yeah.
He's got a certain smugness that I find offensive. And I can't enjoy his music or pretty much anything he's involved in.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things.
Well, that's Tony Allen written off for Mike then.
It's like your
fear of animated spiders.
Animated spiders?
Yeah.
See, not real spiders.
You can't explain it, but it exists.
It's a phobia.
It's a phobia. Yeah. I don't have a phobia of Damon Albarn. I just can't explain my dislike of him.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a phobia. I'm not afraid of him. I just dislike him. I can't explain why.
Yeah, but, I've worked with people like that. Yeah. John.
I
just want to say, when Gordon said the monkey play, for some reason I just thought of Wes Anderson's film Rushmore and how that would have looked on stage.
So, coming back to me, Jeff Mills and Tony Allen, I
just realised that's the name of your sex tape, sorry, carry on.
I approve very strongly. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be... Tony Allen is a fantastic drummer. Jeff Mills is an interesting and innovative musician. I think, by all means, let's have the two together and let's go for it.
Yes.
The Bells, that's a good track as well.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you, Quasimodo. But anyway, yeah. But I think let's just skip straight to
do that again, Sir John, but with a bit more feeling.
What?
I can't feel at this point that that maybe this might have been the one that you wanted to make everyone say at the same time. Kind of getting a vibe that we might all be leaning in the same direction.
Well,
like maybe you, Matt. Like you're the possible outlier on this one.
I'm often an outlier.
Yeah.
But I'm not helping you.
I'm feeling an awful lot of warmth towards Jeff Mills.
Shall I do the sting?
Do a sting. Do a sting and then we'll ask the question. No.
Right. Right. Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Craig Lee on Tony Allen.
Are you? You twat! You twat! I knew you'd be the awkward bugger.
Yeah.
Jeff.
He's just coming now. He comes to zero again.
Well, no, I wanted to hear what everyone said, and if I was talking, I couldn't listen.
Oi.
So most of you are going for Jeff Mills and Tony Allen, and I'm going for Craig Leon and Martin Rev is the summary.
I think those are the headlines.
I am so torn on that one. Yeah. And
that's fair enough.
That, I think, was the most difficult pairing of two things that I know very little about.
So far, of the four that we've done...
Poor Karen Quire.
There have been two where I want to see all three. I definitely want to see all the ones in it.
Yeah.
The second episode with Butthole Surfers, Fabric Under Your Hand, and Cosmic Dead, want to see all three.
Yeah.
This one, want to see all three.
Yeah.
Most definitely. So,
can I just say... did anyone see the video on YouTube of Jeff Mills versus Random Noise Generator, where they pan across to another set of decks and then they pan back again while passing the mix between the two?
No.
No.
Check it out.
Okay.
We will.
Yeah, I think we have.
Ladies and gentlemen,
a little tip for you there, listeners at home.
We will quite listen. Likely, if we can find that, we will put it on the AYP Tumblr.
Oh, will we?
It's on YouTube.
Will we, John? Will we?
Well, yeah.
All right, I'll do it. I'm right, the custodian of the Dumbler.
Taking liberties there. Right, so, that's got that.
Settle fairly amiably, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like we've not dwelt enough on the lovely chalet versus the evil outdoors.
Maybe we will on our final ever episode of this bit.
Ooh. Dun, dun, dun. It won't be the final one, because we're going to record one there, aren't we?
Yeah, but the final one of this pre-80s.
Pre-SAM. Surface to air missile.
Just a quick thought, actually. When these go out, when the last one goes out, will we have been to the festival?
No.
Good. So that's sorted that out. You can follow us on the AYP Twitter, which is at AYP Podcast. You can find us on Tumblr at AYP Podcast. And if you search Facebook for All Yesterday's Parties, you will find us there, you poor, poor souls.
Yes.
So thanks very much, and we'll see you next week for the last Scariest Dairy.
Yes.
You'll find us next week for the last Safe as Milk Festival preview, so look forward to that, and we'll see you then.
You have been listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
Have you told your family about All Yesterday's Parties? Maybe you should, because the music is by Attack of the Vapors, and the podcast is hosted by...
Bordeaux. Bordeaux.